And now we turn to another art form, film. So, I think it's safe to say that we're in Oscar season right now, but how are the films out now and those coming out soon different? Well, for starters, there are films that are dealing with race and some that are, well, not dealing with race. There are stories of rebirth and the rebirth of stories that have been told a million times before. Joining me to talk about some of the last films of 2014 is film critic and writer Alonso Duralde. Hey, Alonso, welcome to Latino USA.
Thank you.
So let's start, because this is the theme of birth and rebirth, the movie Birdman.
Sure.
Which I saw, and I got to tell you, those first, what is it, 10 minutes, 12 minutes, 15 minutes when it's a single, or at least they make it appear like a single camera, one take. Is it live? Is it not live?
I think there's a certain amount of trickery there, because really they're trying to make the entire movie seem like one uninterrupted shot, you know, kind of like if you go back to an old Hitchcock movie, Rope, where he did that with you know, he just would stop to change the film and the camera. But with digital, you can just keep going.
So Alejandro Iñárritu, again, kind of pushing the limits again of film.
Sure. And with a sense of humor for once. Who knew?
Right. No, it was funny. I mean, it was very dramatic to me, and the acting. Let's take a listen to a clip.
We don't have an actor. Uh-huh. And if we cancel the first preview, the press is going to smell blood. And we can't afford to lose any more money at all.
Okay. What do you think I should do?
Well, we hired an understudy. Let's use the understudy.
No.
Reagan, listen to me. Please, for the love of God, listen. Our perfect dream actor is not going to knock on that door and go, hey, fellas, when do I start? You know?
Can I talk to you for a second?
Yeah, what's up?
Did you find another actor?
No.
Okay, well... Mike's available.
He is?
Mm-hmm. Mike who?
I thought he was doing the thing.
He was. He quit. Or got fired.
Mike who? Which is it? Quit or fired?
Well, with the mic, it's usually...
Not like an actor's going to knock on the door and knock, knock, knock. So this film was shot by Mexican cinematographer Emmanuel Lubezki, who yes. also shot Gravity, also shot Tree of Life. So is this the moment of, you know, again, I mean, do we even ask this question, the golden age of Mexican film in the United States of America? Although, you know, there is that critique, which was they're Mexican, they're not Latino.
You know, talent rises to the top, ideally. The idea being that this is a meritocracy and it's not about where you're from or where you came from. It's what are you bringing to the table? And in the case of Lubezki, you know, he's what they call a below-the-line guy. You know, he's a craftsman. And so I don't think that people think about Lubezki as, oh, yes, this Mexican guy. I think they think of, oh, yeah, Lubezki. His work is amazing.
So speaking of which, you know, the impact that this, you know, these phenomenal Mexican filmmakers are having, Guillermo del Toro producing a movie that I adored, Book of Life, directed by Jorge Gutierrez, starring Diego Luna, Zoe Saldana, and Channing Tatum. It is a love story. It is an animation, but it really is a story about life and death and El Día de los Muertos, the Day of the Dead.
Welcome to the land of the remembered.
I made it.
And on the Day of the Dead, no less.
Where is...
You're going to be a little disoriented at first.
Don't try to take it all in at once. Let's start with your name.
My name is Manolo Sanchez.
Another Sanchez? Man, that family just keeps growing.
I just wish there was like an adult version of this film.
No, it's definitely a breakthrough. And I've always argued that the more culturally specific you make a film, the more universal it becomes. You know, you didn't have to be Greek to see your relatives in My Big Fat Greek Wedding, you know? And I think that for a film like this to really embrace the Día de los Muertos, which I think it has slowly kind of seeped its way into the American consciousness and into the American culture. It ultimately becomes a movie that anybody can relate to. It becomes a movie about reverence for our ancestors. It is a love story, and it is kind of a cool, you know, spooky story at the same time. It's an Orpheus and Eurydice story. It's a lot of things happening. And Del Toro and the whole crew that put that film together really kind of embraced the phantasmagoria of color and images and the things that have made the de los Muertos such a great kind of art object for people over the years and really encapsulated in a film. And I think we'll bring it to a new audience, because who doesn't want to see, you know, skeletons in mariachi outfits and matador costumes and all that other stuff?
Then, of course, not a kids movie, but a comedy, Dear White People, where, well, race is really the center of the conversation. Does this movie move the dial, or is it just funny and so we can laugh about it and then move on?
You know, I see this as the kind of movie that starts conversations, that starts conversations in various places, not just among people, but within institutions, certainly, and as a society. Because, you know, I've always been a believer that if you want to get a message out and you want to say something that is damning or difficult or controversial, make it funny.
Your little show?
What about my show?
The show is racist.
Black people can't be racist. Prejudice, yes, but not racist. Racism describes a system of disadvantage based on race. Black people can't be racist since we don't stand to benefit from such a system.
Your antics are making press, Sam. And press like this keeps men like President Fletcher up at night.
It is first and foremost, I think, a really smart comedy. You actually are interested in these relationships and in these college students and the things that they're trying to accomplish and the burdens that have been placed upon them by their parents or by society or whatever it is. You know, even within what it's saying about how black people exist in the society, it says things about things that are going on within the black community. You know, how is the black community opening itself or not to its LGBT members? How are black students treating each other when they're, you know, both stuck in a traditionally white or, you know, university setting? There's a lot going on in this film. But first and foremost, like I said, I think it's a smart movie. It's a funny movie. And it's an interesting, you know, character piece.
So why do you think it took so long for a movie like this to happen? And do you think that this is going to open the space for more?
Well, I mean, it's not like this movie sort of sprang out of Zeus's head. I mean, there have been other films you can point to. Spike Lee, you know, his second film was School Days, which was also set at a university, although in that case, a traditionally black college, and dealt with similar issues. I mean, it's a different film, very much so. But, you know, I think the timing was right. You had things like Stuff White People Like online. You have, I think, a younger generation that's sort of open to new voices and new experiences. And you have a way that people can be funny about issues that people didn't necessarily find funny in the past, you know? And again, I think it's by finding the humor, by finding the universality within something, that's where you're able to open that dialogue.
And then from there, you go to the movie Exodus, which is getting a lot of attention, but also a lot of critique because it's the epic retelling of the biblical story of Exodus. But here we have an all-white cast in ancient Egypt. Are you kidding?
Old habits die hard for Hollywood.
Oh, my God.
Especially when they are spending upwards of $200 million on a big biblical epic that they want to open around the world. You know, that's when they start playing it safe. And so they aren't necessarily looking at who are our, you know, most interesting, you know, Middle Eastern actors. No, it's let's go for who's a name that can open some doors. Get me Batman.
This is about Egypt's survival, do you understand?
Who has been telling you this?
God.
So do you think the criticism is valid, though? I mean, you're saying they're playing it safe because they want to open it to a worldwide audience.
Oh, yeah. I'm not excusing them for that. I'm just saying that's what they're doing. Yeah, no, obviously the white Jesus, you know, of the movies and the white Moses and whatever else that we're going to get is, I think, backwards thinking. It is 1950s, you know, and previous kind of Hollywood thinking. Ultimately, that's something that's going to change over the years. We're going to have more and more actors of color who will open movies and who will be perceived as, you know, box office draws, and then it will make it easier to cast them in films like this.
Alonso, thanks so much for joining us on Latino USA.
Thanks for having me.
Alonso Duralde is a film critic who writes for The Wrap and Reuters. Alonso joined me in the studios at NPR West.